You're listening to the Love Yegg Show. If our city could talk, these are the stories it would tell about the people, places, and passion in Edmonton. We interview difference makers in our community. Please welcome your hosts, Sherry Beauchamp and Jesse McCracken.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Love Yegg Show. My name is Sherry Beauchamp, and I'm here with Jesse McCracken.
Hello.
Hello. And today is, we're doing things a little bit differently than we've done in the past. Today is a really special and unique day for us. I think there's a lot going on right now. There's a couple things that are new in this situation. We're doing this all virtually, which we've never done before. But also we're talking about today's events. Typically we would kind of just record and then put it in the queue. But I think there's so much going on in the world right now that people are just trying to figure out. And so sometimes, you know, I have this plate that is on my desk and it says things happen for a reason. And the really interesting thing about this is when this podcast recording was booked, probably 3 weeks now, maybe almost a month ago now, the world was a lot different than it is today. And the person that we have on today is, I couldn't think of a better person in our community to have on this podcast. So I feel super honored and privileged to have Juliana Bootsman with us from White Box Leadership. So welcome, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. It's your introduction is right on point. You know, synchronicities and the way that things happen in our lives are often so far beyond our understanding until we get to the moment. And this really is a beautiful time for us to be coming in and having the conversation that would have been the conversation I would have desired to have around leadership and what we're being called to do at this point in time in our lives, even before what's happening with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. So let's just give people a little bit of context, a little bit of your background, who you are, what you do, and kind of give them a little perspective about, you know, where we're coming from today in our conversation.
Yeah. So I joke and not joke with people to say that I am on my fourth career. And a friend of mine always says, Jill, make sure you acknowledge that it's your fourth successful career and you're not just like hopping around. Right. I am a conscious leadership coach, speaker, and facilitator. And what led me to this space is my first profession was as a professional dancer. And as I kind of got into my 20s and, you know, a series of things happened, I began to shift out of that career into what was next. And what there I was brought into marketing, communications, and branding, and went back to school for that and fell in love with that. And from that place, I then came into conscious leadership coaching. And I knew, you know, and within that, and sorry, I missed, and I'm like, what was the fourth one? I also taught dance. And so from professional dancer to dance teacher to marketing and brander to conscious leadership coach and speaker facilitator. And when I look back through all of those, the common thread in every single one of those, my purpose remained the same. And probably about 15 years ago, I went through a process from Jack Canfield's book, actually, The Success Principles. He also wrote all of the Chicken Soup for the Soul and defined my purpose as being to use my passion, determination, and energy to inspire and encourage others to realize their purpose and always. And so that really has resonated with me and been the purpose to why I've done everything. So when I was a dancer on a stage, I wasn't on there just to win the medals or get the trophies or whatever. And although I, you know, that was appealing, it wasn't the reason I was there. My reason I was there was to impact somebody in that audience, to be able to maybe come in and connect it to something a little bit more to who they really are, something that would inspire them and leave them fuller and better than when they entered that they would be able to connect into a piece of their soul that gave them those goosebumps, that gave them that moment of just like, ah. And coming into teaching, it was the same thing, connecting those students that I taught into the true essence of who they are so that they may leave that room a little bit more in the fullness of that and leave better than they came. And then when it came to marketing communications, it was the same thing, to get down to the core of who these people were, these companies, the individuals, so that when they shared that with the world, the message that we were sharing was not only accurate to who they were at the core of themselves and of the organization, but also to support others to be able to elevate and come into that. And so that brings me all the way to what I do now in coaching. It really is to bring people into the fullness of who they are, into the fullness of their humanity, so that they can actually serve in the world in a way that elevates us and doesn't diminish us. And so in the very summed up version, it's to leave people better than they came.
That's incredible. I think you and I have had some conversations. I think actually our first one might have started at one of the family events. There was a big crash at the back of the room by the arcade games, and one of those big life-size Jenga things came crashing down, and our kids instantly started playing together because that's just how they roll. And so you and I started talking, and I thought, you know, you are somebody who has an incredibly unique perspective on life and relationships and business and the way that you weave them all together. Like, I respect that so much. And I think it's so timely for what's going on right now, because all of us are sort of in this place that we've never been before. Most of us, you know, things are going on at home. We're isolating ourselves. You know, we're social creatures, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, right? Like, there's still a connection that you want to community or family or friends. And so it's a really interesting time, especially, you know, if you're a parent or a business owner. There's a bunch of stuff that's sort of creeping in right now that maybe have never even thought of before or had to deal with, obviously, in a pandemic like this. So I just want to ask you, you know, everyone's saying stay positive, be kind, and it's sort of, you know, all of these things, which I totally understand, but there's also this, there's got to be a healthy amount of fear, right? To keep us safe and protected and that kind of thing. So what do you have to say about sort of, you know, what we're kind of going through right now and what that means for us as, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday about, you know, looking at resetting things and reframing our world and the way we see the world. So I'm curious about, you know, what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah. What I hear in that is, you know, what do we do with the desire that what we know in order to be able to stay mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually capable and at a place, I'm hesitating to even say the word well, but in a place where we can really move forward and respond to what is being asked of us in this moment, and knowing that being able to stay in a positive frame of mind, being able to be in that space is what is going to be healthier. And then also on the negative side of things, going like, well, what do we do with this fear? And so I've seen so many people, you know, really saying we need to choose love, not fear. And my question in that was, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. This is something, I mean, I have been living this. My guiding personal philosophy in life is every moment is an opportunity to know love. And it's on the bottom of my e-signature. It is my guiding principle in life. I have gone through a divorce in the last 2 years that has been brutal. And through that, that principle has been my guide to say, how do I find love in this? Pre that, 8 years before the birth of my child, I suffered from bulimia every single day, binging and purging, and moving through that and coming out of that. Even then, I look back on posts going, my message at that point was love. And I think, how did I find love in these moments of these things that were so dark? And so, in a way, I've been living and training my whole life this perspective, And what I think in this is that we need to be able to honor the what is moment. We need to be able to honor that fear is a part of our world. We feel that it's a part of a human experience. And if we don't acknowledge it and we just kind of bypass it, we're missing our connection to our humanity. But in that, being able to really honor what we're really feeling, and in the work that I do on the very clearest of levels, the way I describe it is bringing love and humanity into the workplace. Mm-hmm. And right now what I'm observing is we are being asked to do that. But it also means we need to re-understand what love is, and we need to understand and come into really letting ourselves see, what does it mean to be human? And to be human means I feel fear. It's hardwired in us as a way to protect us. I was listening to somebody else the other day, and they were actually sharing the definition of fear. And so I thought I would actually share that as well. You know, when we look at the dictionary, they give a definition of fear that's very, you know, it's the emotion that we feel when we see an imminent threat. Another definition I found takes it a step further and around it, that then creates psychological and behavioral changes within us that either causes us to fight, flee, hide, freeze, all of these types of things. And we are in a time right now where we are feeling threat and danger and all of these things. And so we would not be human if we didn't feel these emotions. And that's okay. And so in that, some of the most positive things we can do is to be able to, with empathy and compassion, allow ourselves to feel this. And where the wisdom comes in and where the practice comes into play. And so some leaders will be more prepared for this moment if they have been doing the work ahead of time to condition themselves mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, to come into this moment of fear and be able to regulate themselves. So if you have young kids, you might have learned or heard about, you know, how to emotionally regulate your children. Well, this is a time for us as leaders and adults to really come into the practice of emotional regulation, which means for us to be able to feel the feeling and then use some of our practices. And so for me, breath is the number one practice I use to be able to regulate that emotion. It's a physical tool that we can use to regulate ourselves emotionally and spiritually to come into this connection. And that pause, that moment of pause to just come back to the breath, to give ourselves a break and allow ourselves to get clarity. And neurologically in our brain, it actually supports us now to be able to calm down the amygdala in our brain where the cortisol is wreaking havoc and causing us to then create these behavioral changes that will then have us act out in anger, frustration, in all of these ways that isn't who we really are, that isn't who we want to be. And then we look back going like, what the F is going on? And then we like, or get caught up in now even more like shame, blame, upset, and then it just starts to spiral. Mm-hmm. So I think the question is, how do we not spiral? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to choose love over fear, love also looks like seeing our child who's breaking down, and rather than flee, rather than fight it, can we just be with it? And this is where the practice of empathy comes into play. Mm-hmm. Empathy is us being able to sit with and acknowledge what's going on. And this is really, really hard times for so many people. I think for all of us, mm-hmm. whether you are sitting in a place where you might consider yourself a bit more privileged, you've got savings, you've got a house, you've got all sorts of things that you feel a little bit more taken care of. But this is a time also where we are really able to look at and feel into the emotion and the pain and the suffering of some of our most vulnerable communities. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of rolling here now, but if we shift over to love then, and we really ask ourselves, well, if we know that fear is an experience of that, where we are, have this emotion that's induced that then has us acting out in these ways of anger, frustration, you know, just actually shutting down and not communicating, then what is love? And love, again, if you go to the dictionary, we're going to get a really, I'm going to say, like a kindergarten version of the answer. And it's very much around like affection for the other and this and that. And what we know is that love isn't just about this physical attachment to another person. And so I think that we're due to overhaul some of our definitions. But some of the definitions that I hear around love from some of our spiritual leaders, when we look at what we know love to be, because if you've ever had a child in your life, that when they were born, or an animal or something in your life that you can say that you love, it's not just about this physical sort of attachment. It's something else. And ultimately, love then becomes the care and the well-being for the other. It is us being able to go beyond ourselves and look at what's happening for the other. And so in leadership, I don't think that we can have leadership without love. If you're really in a position where your desire as a leader is to support other people to grow and come into the fullness of who they are so that they can serve at the highest level of their performance. So even pre-COVID, if what you're desiring is to have a highly effective company performing at its highest, delivering things into the world that are going to make an impact or support in some way and serve in some way, then can you actually guide your people and lead your people into their best if love is not a part of the equation?
Mm-hmm.
And so my answer is no. And at this point in time, we are all leaders in our own individual worlds. And so we can't do it without love.
It's interesting because you talk about like fear and love. And like, if I'm referencing those two things, to me, it's like the darkness and the light. And I think to fully appreciate either one, like to really feel the light and see the light, which I think is what we're going to experience on the other end of this, is because if you haven't felt that darkness, it's really hard to feel like to really appreciate the love. You know, and I do think that what's going to happen out of here is some people haven't felt that darkness, or maybe they haven't let themselves go into that place, but we're all a little bit there under the cloud right now. And so on the other side of this, I think that there's going to be a tremendous amount of light. And I do think about, you know, the people that are a little bit more vulnerable, and they often live in that darkness, you know? And so it's like, how can, and the little pieces of light are, you know, the meal that they're getting once a day from, you know, like all of these things. So it's like, they've experienced the dark. So those little pieces of light, it's easier for them to appreciate. Whereas sometimes when you are a little bit more privileged, you don't notice those things of light. And I think that this is where, you know, we have to be mindful of like what other people are going through. And, you know, most likely the people that aren't listening to this podcast, you know, because they don't have a phone to listen to the podcast and what they're going through right now. And I think that's one thing that's just sitting so heavy on me right now. And I'm sure a lot of people is like, wow, we're lucky. We're scared of what's going to happen to us. But what about everybody else right now? Like, how can we shed like a little bit of light on the people that just don't even get to feel that on a daily basis?
My response to that might be, I was reflecting on that thought in the last day or so. And what came to me in that was, maybe they're the ones teaching us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're the ones teaching us right now, because this is our opportunity to go, are we doing this right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so if we can sit with that pain, that suffering, that we can't even imagine what they might be feeling in these vulnerable situations. I think one of the most heartbreaking things for me to imagine right now is these children that school was their only safe place, that these children or family units that are really volatile situations in the home. Home is not always our safest place for couples. For women, for men, for elderly, for the children, like, and when we're under stress and when we're under unknown and anxiety and in a situation we've never been in before, the environments in the home are not going to be all beautiful, wonderful moments of just blissful, enjoying, you know, reading books and sitting and listening to the birds. And I get to experience that sometimes. That is the privilege that my life gets to be. I'm also privileged that I've been doing this work for a long time and I can be open and vulnerable about the feelings I have. I can use the tools I have to begin to regulate myself or to be humble enough to be honest to other people to say, things are really freaking bad right now. And I kind of, you know, am losing my mind and am losing it on my kids and I don't really know what to do. And so that is something that's real. And I think they're maybe teaching us right now is if we can sit in that long enough to feel it, maybe it will inspire us to look around and shift our perspective of what needs to change in my life. And it's not going to change today. It might not change tomorrow. But if I can really go deep enough into that feeling and into the wisdom of that without letting it hijack me, emotion just hijacks us. And then we can just be sitting in the sorrow and the suffering of a victim. But yeah. We are not victims in this. We are players in it. We are wise, wise beings who get to engage in this moment and go, I have an opportunity here to feel what this feeling is. And instead of going, okay, what do I need to do? Maybe I go, how are they reflecting back to me what needs to change in my life to begin to create some balance in our world?
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is like, what do we do in this moment? Because, you know, I might like physically some of the things that I might want to do to help, like I can't go into that home and physically help that family or that kid. Is there a way that I can donate to and I've seen some beautiful things happening to the, you know, restaurants that don't have the say they've got a lot of excess food now because they don't have the same flow and they're donating it to the food bank. Like we're finding ways that businesses are really, and that those are our conscious leaders. But we, and as individuals in our own homes right now, can go, bravest, most courageous thing I can do is really take an honest look at my life and ask myself what might need to change. And just sit with that question. And if we can be brave enough to sit with the question, be honest about the emotions, highly conscious leaders have the ability to be very honest with the experience of sitting in the question. Some of the things that are going to come up are going to go, I don't want to change my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I like everything. Why do I like it? I like it because it, you know, it gives me the luxuries I've worked for. Why are those things important? And then how does that contradict maybe what I'm feeling? Where might I be invited to let go? Am I going to feel grief and sadness about that? Yeah, I might. And what might it be to lean into love? And so this is a beautiful moment for us to be able to just lean into that.
I think the thing for me in this whole thing is like, I always try to have like an abundant mindset, right? Like in most aspects of my life, right? Like how can we look at this in a positive way? How can we do this in this? And then so to go there and like, especially when you're like, you have no choice. Like there's really no, you're told to stay in your home or your social distance. And those are usually the places where you go to find answers, right? Mm-hmm. And bounce things off. So to kind of have to sit in this somewhat alone, right? In this moment, physically anyways, right? Besides the people that are in your home that you are with. But I think like, that's the part that I'm trying to wrap my head around is because I've always sort of had this abundance mentality. And now this is like challenging that in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out how to navigate that, I guess, is the thing, right? To kind of like, yeah.
There may be a shortage. You know what I mean? All of those things for sure. I mean, and I look like Trevor and I have been, we're working a lot. Like right now he's in the other room on calls. He has been for like a full, you know, since this is all, we've all been set at home. I've been really busy and I'm like, oh, like, you know, what about people that aren't able to work? And so I'm so like, that's the part that it's
conflicting all the time.
Yeah. Right? It's like, I'm doing my thing and I'm busy and I'm so fortunate that I'm busy. And like I said, I've got an office that needs, there's so many things right now. But also, like, there will be that moment where I'm like, okay, now I have nothing to do. And I'm not that I'm worried about that moment, but I'm wondering how my emotion is going to go when I'm there. Because right now I'm still just getting stuff done. You know what I mean? I haven't been actually sat in it, but I'm looking around and I'm feeling for other people, but I'm also so busy that I haven't had the opportunity to just sit like in the holy, what is, you know, what does this look like for us? For the future, for the next month or 30 days, 45 days, 60 days, a year, right? And when I think about that, it looks dark.
And what do you do with the unknown of it all, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because really it's unprecedented times, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it is the unknowns. And yeah, you know, it's, that's the part that is, like I said, as somebody who, yeah, owns a business and has, you know, a bunch of people to lead and that look up to me. And I'm like, okay, I actually haven't sat in that moment, except for I'm still feeling very positive about where we are right now, but it's still early, you know?
My reflections on that, and I, you know, something I didn't share at the beginning of our call today is that I by no means will ever say that I've got the answers or that I even know that I can fully imagine what everybody's going through. But what I do know is where we are most powerful is in the present moment.
Yeah.
And this is not a new concept that we've been hearing. Mindfulness and meditation is something that is really coming to the forefront of our lives, you know, in the last, I don't know, I want to say even like 5-10 years. I also am a certified mindfulness meditation teacher, and I bring that into my practice and my work with people that I work with, and being able to come into the present. And I think now more than ever, we are being given the opportunity to really understand why that's important and what that means. And in times of uncertainty, the one thing that we is in our control, the one thing that we can do and that will support is to be able to know that what I have right now is to simply focus on this present moment. And that's going to be brutally hard for so many of us. I do this work and I'm in it too. Mm-hmm. And I have to constantly remind myself to come back to the present moment, which is so hard because this present moment is unlike anything I've experienced before. So I don't even know how to do this present moment. And this is where if we are made up of body, mind, and spirit, this is the time where we are being brought into wisdom versus knowledge. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom tradition has been something that has been taught to us for thousands of years. And the elders in communities, in our indigenous communities, will understand this. And that's why we go to them to seek guidance. It is why we go to elders in our community. They hold a sense of wisdom. And every single one of us has this wisdom to be able to come into. So when we come into the breath, when we come into this place within the center of ourselves. And so I often call it the eye of the storm. So when we can get into the eye of the storm there, we then can choose wisdom over knowledge, because right now we don't have all of the knowledge maybe we would need for this exact moment. I've never been in a place where I'm expected to teach my kids school, to figure out how to completely re-look at how maybe I'm running my business moving forward, because everything has changed. Mm-hmm. Where I am being challenged personally within myself, within so many of my own sort of ideas, beliefs, what is, and just mental wellness. And all of those things, like, we've not been in this time before, but what I know is that we hold this innate wisdom within ourselves when we can come to the present moment and be brave enough and courageous enough to respond to just this moment. Mm-hmm. And the question that you had shared, Sherry, about abundance. And I think that's such an interesting question and an important question. I hadn't actually thought of it that way, about what do we, you know, I've always had an abundance mentality. And I guess my question to that is, what does abundance mean to you? And that would be my question to any of the listeners, is what an opportunity to evaluate, what does abundance really mean to you? Because the perspective I hold and is that everything that we need for life is a abundantly available to us always. Mm-hmm. That is the breath, sunshine in nature. It is community, which is available to us still. And what we're being shown is that connection is not about the physical. Connection is about, I feel so deeply connected to you guys right now on this call, and we're not even in the same physical proximity, but I can feel you, I can see you, and I can, that the same is for, you know, even when I can't physically see somebody, but we can connect into that. And I'm just floored right now when I look at what some of the images coming from Venice, that the canals are clearer than they've ever been. That when we look at the satellite images of NASA, and they're showing us how the air quality in some of the highly populated areas, and even in Italy, where they've really been on lockdown for a while now, that the air quality has significantly shifted. And I think, well, isn't that abundance? Holy F. If we can take a moment to pull back and just choose to feel that and go, what is the world mirroring back to us right now? Mm-hmm. Like, and that it took a virus. It took something that was threatening our humanity, because the forest fires weren't enough. Because those were the things where we as humans can run in and be the heroes for other things. And so that is love. But it is our behavior and how we're moving in our world and our society and our businesses that are clearly impacting the world that gives us life every day. Mm-hmm. And so if we can take a moment to really evaluate that and go, something has changed drastically in our world that has caused us all to have to live a bit of a different lifestyle for a while. And the environment is breathing better because of it. And maybe, just maybe, we will begin to breathe better because of it. And when we begin to breathe better, we are able to make better cognitive choices. So the mind-body connection, the mind-body-spirit connection, we look at being able to move with an open heart and a discerning mind. And with the power of breath, and so we can, at the end of this call, I can guide us through a box breath and guide us through a breath that people can take away with them. But when we come back to that breath, what we begin to realize is that we only breathe often up to our chest and out. So we shallow breathe. And breath is our life force. The first thing that we do when we're born, and it's the last thing that we do when we die. We let out that last final exhale. And coming back to this breath will center us, and being able to just take full breaths allows us to be able to come into the eye of the storm, allows us to be able to come into the present moment and go, what is this moment asking of me right now? And can I just be here? Even though I've got so many other things going on, I don't know if there's anything else that's going to help us more than that right now, because I know it's what's helping me. I don't know how to homeschool my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to go pick up my stuff from the schools today. And we were talking the other day, Sherry, about closure.
Yeah.
And how we're not getting closure. Our kids aren't getting closure now in so many things. And being able to come back to that breath, being able to come back to that place of the present moment of, can I just be with what is right now and be with my kids as they need me? And that there's no prescribed rule on how to do this right now. The only thing that we can do is tap into our own inner wisdom for what the people in our immediate world need from us. And your families are going to be needing one thing, then a different family's going to need. And how you're going to choose to design this for is going to be different than what another family needs or what another business needs. But my hope is that as leaders, and as, you know, whether that's a business owner or a parent or whomever, that we can just really evaluate and see each other and respond to that need, rather than to confine into a system that we were operating before and try and make it work within this moment. We're being asked to redefine our systems, and that's a good thing.
I got so much out of what you said just about like how we're really giving like Mother Earth like a break, you know, and gosh, she deserves a break. All the flights, you know, all of the airplanes and all the cars and all the factories. Like to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was just like a boom, because I feel like that is the light at out of all of this. And I think it's going to put us like less pressure for it to produce food for us, because maybe we're going to just consume just a little bit less. And maybe all of us are going to like grow gardens this year because we realize like where the resources, you know, we may not have them. And so like literally that to me was like, like, yes, that's it.
My dad said, he's like, Juliana, we're going to be okay. There's land and we can plant a garden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, so this is where, what is abundance? Abundance, I think we've lost the eye of what abundance really is. I, with my own kids, because my work has drastically changed. My work was mostly event-based for the next 6 months. It's mm-hmm. all been canceled. Mm-hmm. And I came home and said, okay, kids, we're going to go on a no spending challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made a huge pot of soup, and my normal habit would have been to go to Cobb's and get a loaf of bread. And my son stopped me, said, Mom, no spending. And so I had all the ingredients I need to whip up a thing of biscuits, and I did it in 15 minutes, and they were amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and he loved them. And I would have never received that moment.
Yeah.
Because I would have just kept going as I've always gone. And so what happened there? I would have gotten in my car, driven to the store to pick mm-hmm. up when I already had everything in my home.
Yeah.
I am already abundant. Mm-hmm. What is the abundance that we're already living in that we aren't even acknowledging, because we've made abundance synonymous with I can have anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want, like, and so we're really being brought to go, oh, but what do I really want? Coming back to the heart of the matter, what matters most to me, and how might this be forcing me to do something a little bit different and to try something different? And I mean, Oprah talks about the whispers. And I mean, we have not been listening to the whispers as a society at all. We needed to be actually so forcefully detained into our homes to go, I'm going to make you stay at home until you can figure this out. It's like we've been put in a global timeout because mm-hmm. we've been delinquent, misbehaving children.
Yeah. Yeah.
Richard Rohr is one of my spiritual teachers, and he talks about how we're really in a kindergarten time in our spirituality. And I think that is, and that's by no shame or it just is what is. And we're really being invited to grow up a little bit. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's another teaching, the integral theory, and it's called, we go through phases of our lives. And this is not just globally, we're experiencing this as well. But where we go through a phase of waking up, we wake up, then we grow up, then we clean up, then we show up. And so we're really, you know, some of us have been waking up for a while and not been doing the growing up and coming into a higher level of maturity. And I don't say that from like in any way of arrogance. It's just we begin to grow up into looking at how are we operating in our lives and how can we shift some things. And then it begins to start the cleanup and going, oh, I got a lot. Even just people who've been trying to eliminate the use of plastics in their home, cleaning up that experience is tough. We're so used to using plastic that shifting that is hard. And so we got to kind of clean up. And the cleaning up, like, look at how many people we've been seeing just cleaning up their houses because they're stuck inside. Mm-hmm. I cleaned up all the files on my computer. That's a project I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good thing. There's good things happening in here. And then the last one is showing up, that we might be able to then show up more in our humanity than we ever have. And that we can begin to come into a better relationship with life, like all of life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Like, literally, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. This reminds me of when we were talking about like reorder, right? And reform. of what's going to happen and what's going to sort of come out of all of this.
Yeah.
Because we have the opportunity to have a different perspective.
Yeah. So I highly encourage anybody who's inspired by this conversation to go and follow Richard Rohr's work from the Center for Action and Contemplation. And I had an opportunity to go down there last year to stay with a colleague of mine and to go and go and spend some time at the Center for Action and Contemplation and meet Richard Rohr. And he teaches how throughout our natural life cycles as humans, we go through these phases of order, disorder, reorder. And globally, we're experiencing this. And these are conversations I've been having pre-COVID-19. We were already in a state of disorder in our lives. And so in the way that our world has been functioning, we know that because of just the amount of mental health and mental illness that we've been seeing. And, you know, this past year, in the course of 2 weeks, I had 5 people, you know, I knew who had had somebody close to them die by suicide. And like all of these things, like the amount of school shootings that we're seeing, and just like we were already in a state of disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was so much chaos happening. And then we're being asked to move into reorder. Raj Sisodia, who is the founder of Conscious Capitalism and has just written a new, really good book called The Healing Organization. And I recommend it to anybody that's got some time on their hands to download the audiobook or to get the book. But he talks about how we are coming into a time where we're birthing the new paradigm in business, but in life, and we're hospicing the old. And we use the word hospice intentionally because there is grief that comes with it. And it's a letting go of, it's not like a tell it to fuck off. There's a hospicing of the old when we can see that this is no longer working for us anymore. And the maturity to be able to look at that and go, this isn't working anymore. We need to change something. And the empathy and compassion comes into change is hard. Mm-hmm. And we're going to run into meet so many of our own dragons and demons and frustrations and egos and all of that. We're going to bump into all of it through the course of the change. And that's part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we birth this new paradigm, which we're being given a glimpse right now into,
And globally, right? This isn't just, the thing is that it's globally, which is, it's like everybody, it's not just like Canada or the States or Italy.
Literally the whole world is
being forced to like, just rethink the way that they're doing things. And you know, I think that is, you know, it's terrible the whole world's going through this, but it's also really great that the whole world's going through this because it's something that's hopefully going to connect us and make us all just, you know, be a little bit better.
Well, it's fascinating. And this is where, you know, for us to be able to take a moment and sit and just really see things for what they are and acknowledge going, okay, what are the facts? The facts are we're all globally going through this. I was driving and walking down the street the other day, and I almost feel like I want to do a nod to like, hey, like all of a sudden I feel like I know you, you're going through what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I'm waving and like, I'm smiling at strangers. I mean, I do that normally. People who know me be like, Jelena's the weird one that's just like smiles at everybody down. Like people in the grocery store be like, you look happy. I was like, oh. And well, I got lots of reasons to be deeply sad right now, but we're good. And there's this collective nod. And I know like you're going through this too.
It's like another layer of empathy, right?
And the thing about it is it was already happening before this. And Brené Brown talks about how the epidemic of loneliness and the very real thing that the thing we most deeply desire and are yearning for is connection. And now through this experience, it's because of COVID-19, maybe we're saying, but my reflection or my perception on that is, no, we were already all connected in our suffering and in the things that we're going through individually in our lives. We just didn't have anything to bring it to the surface to show it. Mm-hmm. And so let us not miss this opportunity to say, we were already all going through something together. Mm-hmm. Just didn't have anything to show it. And this is a mirror being held up going, oh, no, we're all going through this together. And
it's the conversation. I think it's the one thing that everybody has, it's the one thing that we all know that we have something to talk about, or I've always said, like, there's conversations to be had with everybody. There's something that connects us all. But right now, like you said, it's there. So like, it's like strangers are having conversations. It's like everybody is conversating on this one thing when really we've always had lots of things to conversate on. But it's interesting that now it's like we all feel even more connected. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite fascinating when we get to just pull it back and look at the truth of those things that really are happening right now that are inviting us to look at how do we shift in the world to respond to the things we're seeing that are really good. Because there's lots of really good being revealed to us. And sometimes we don't want to see the good because it's going to ask us to change something. Mm-hmm. And we got comfortable in an uncomfortable way. Like, I mean, if we're really honest, a lot of the things about our lives weren't comfortable. I know for myself, so I can't speak for others, but my intuition or my gut tells me that there's a lot of us that have been going like, oh yeah, I know I need to do that change. Oh yeah, I know I need to, I should do some of these things that are going to be a little bit more helpful and would change, or I've thought of that, but I haven't. And so now it's our time to, one of the models that I use is know, own, act, to really move out of knowing and fully move into owning what is. And then now for us to shift our actions. And we're being boldly shown that in a very short amount of time, if we globally shift our actions, things are going to change and they're going to change for the better. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really hard in the short term because people financially don't know where they're going to pay for their mortgages right now. And they don't know how things are, like, that's a real deal. And that is tough. So we need to come together in those conversations. And my invitation is, how do we come together to those conversations and look at what's being asked to shift? Mm-hmm. Is it, we can't just go back to how things have been. And so coming back to going like, okay, yeah, and what can be done differently? How do we shift this differently? What did I need to let go of? And I really didn't want to. I mean, that's something that people have gone through divorce or gone through massive losses in their lives. You don't choose those things necessarily. It's not what you really wanted. Nobody goes into a marriage planning to get divorced. Nobody has a child, or goes into a relationship hoping that someone, that a life is lost. Like, so we never choose these things, but we get to respond to it and go, well, what do we do with it now that we're here? And how do we allow ourselves just to sometimes let go?
I want to touch on, like, as you know, Legacy Egg, you're a member of Legacy Egg, but there's a lot of business owners in there, and everyone's talking about the new normal and exactly what you're talking about, right? So if I'm a business owner right now, which I am, we all are, going through this, and we talk about leadership in these moments, what does that look like? How do we lead? You talked about love coming from a place of deep connection. And so what advice do you have for business owners going through this right now with all the unknowns, all the factors that come into play? What would you say to business owners right now from a point of leadership? What needs to happen now? What does this new normal look like?
Mm-hmm. This is where I come back to wisdom. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we underestimate the level of our wisdom and we don't know how to trust ourselves. And rightfully so, that we don't know how to trust ourselves. We have made lots of choices maybe along the way that weren't in full alignment of what mattered most to us. So I can't really give straight pointed advice for what maybe every in for what they need to do or what businesses need to do. But what I know and what I believe with everything in me, and it's been the experience that I've gone through in my life and I've witnessed others, is that when we come back, so the physical thing is you've got to breathe. And so come back to that practice of how do I maintain, and it's the putting your own oxygen mask on first. How do I make sure that I come back and from my spiritual soul level that I am doing something to connect in, because the answers will come from that place of wisdom right now. And then in that, the compassion and empathy comes with, this isn't going to feel comfortable. You might not like some of the choices that are going to be asked that you're going to have to make. It wouldn't have been what you would have wanted to choose, but it's being what we're being guided into. Mm-hmm. And what I know is that when we connect on a human to human level through anything that you're navigating, we experience a depth of connection and even more wisdom revealed to what is being asked of us right now. And so what does it look like to connect into that wisdom? It means we gather in the honesty of what's really going on for us and find those places that are safe for you to speak, to share and talk about what really is going on for you, to be able to lean into uncomfortable conversations that are really honest and open. And when we talk about coming from love, not fear, it is being able to trust that if you can imagine witnessing somebody in their pain, trust that they will witness you in yours too. And that this is a time where I don't think I've ever given the answer, I don't know, more than ever in my life. My kids are asking me, you know, when are we, my answer more often than not right now is, I don't know. But what I do know is I can come back to my values. I can come back to the belief that we will be okay, that we are resourceful, and that I can be wise enough to see and come up with solutions that really will benefit the whole. And if we're honest, a lot of the solutions that we've been coming up with haven't maybe been benefiting the whole at the level that we're capable of as human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And so with that, we can all just kind of give ourselves a break and sit in the humility of like, can we own that? Can we own that? And then we get to choose a new action, and choosing new action looks like I can come together with my people and we can say, okay, here's what you're allowed to not know everything that's going on. And you can say, what I do know is that the well-being of everybody being able to be taken care of through this is something that we can take care of. And so you can inspire the people around you in how you choose to kind of step up into your own life. And you can inspire them by just being there to listen and hear maybe just what they're going through. And I think about the movie Inside Out and how Joy just wanted to live. Everything needed to be joyful. And she didn't understand why sadness should even exist. And it was sadness that was able to just sit there and go, you can feel that. And this is not something that's, there's so much right now, it's not in our control. And so we have to not get in a fist fight with it. And in my own life, I often say, I can get in a fist fight with this emotion. I can get really just like, or I can pull back and go, okay, let me feel this, not engage or get consumed by it, and just let ourselves feel it. And when we do that, it passes through and it leaves little nuggets for us. And that's a tough practice to do. And so, you know, I think I'm giving a lot of things and some people might connect and go, yeah, I get that. And that works for me. And other people will be like, I want to know that, but I don't know how, because right now I'm losing my effing mind mm-hmm. for many reasons. You know, Sherry, anybody that's listening to this, their invitation to reach out, for sure, I'm available for a call, a conversation. I'm going to be posting some stuff on my social media feeds, and people can sign up on my newsletter on my website for some conversations we're going to be holding and some sessions we're going to be holding with a colleague of mine out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And yeah, and we'll just come together in this space to tap into this wisdom so that we can continue to find the answers. And I won't have the answer for tomorrow until I get to tomorrow, maybe, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. And so this is where we also are going to learn really efficient ways of operating. When I can be in faith and trust that I have such a strong sense of knowing within myself that when tomorrow comes, I can respond to tomorrow. And today I need to respond to today. This is going to train us well. We're going to learn a lot. And Richard Rohr today put out in his meditation that he sends out that this is a really teachable moment in time. This is a really teachable moment in time if we can step back and allow ourselves to be the students. And so as leaders, we are also the students. And that's a good place to be. Yeah. So I don't know if I answered your question there. I kind of went on a little bit.
I just wanted you to keep talking, like, really.
I know, me too. I'm like
everything you're saying.
And every time you say breath, because I know that I'm somebody that like holds right here, that when if somebody tells me to breathe, I'm like, oh, and it's amazing how much better I feel, because I do have that shallow breath. And, you know, I meditate and I do yoga, not as much as I should. But when I'm reminded, I just like, oh, I feel so much lighter. It's amazing.
We all do. It's like, oh, I'm not going to let you sit there and be like, I do this. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like,
we all do. We all have that. Like, yeah. Everybody. And my gosh, like you already are in the practice. And that's what I'm saying. I'm in this with you. Like how humbling it is that I teach this work and that I have practiced this work for a better part of my life. And so I'm reminded of my humanity. You know, something's coming to mind that I wanted to share with you guys that really struck me hard last year. It was an interview that Brené Brown did. And if any of the listeners don't know Brené Brown, she's a researcher and an author and speaks on shame and vulnerability. But her book, Dare to Lead, is a must for leaders and what it means to really lead from a heart-centered space and what our world is asking for right now. But she had this in this interview with Russell Brand, and they were talking about some politics and different things, and they had both had this aha moment. And what they had shared is that ultimately, spiritual principles cannot be devoid or divorced from the systems that we ask people to work in and operate in, because we by nature are spiritual beings. And that was like, I was on an airplane when I was listening to it, and I wanted to just stand up in the airplane and be like, amen, hallelujah, that's it. We have heard that we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We are our greatest point of guidance, and life lives in our spirit. It lives in the breath that we can't see. It lives in this virus that we can't see. It lives in all of the non-physical. And when we can connect in on a level of spirit to spirit with people, with things, with everything, we come into deep intimacy and relationship with life that allows us to guide our actions different. And so right now we are really being shown that these spiritual principles cannot be devoid from the systems that we ask people to operate in. And what we're feeling and seeing right now is we're coming back to our spiritual principles of compassion and love and empathy and courage, which courage means, you know, action of the heart, and creativity. We are creation. We are creative beings by nature. And I don't know about you, but right now, all I want is people to sing me songs and play me things on the piano, and to, like, you know, we're all moved by what we've seen in Italy doing on the balconies. Like, gosh, art and creative things heal us. And so we have such a beautiful opportunity to come into our spirit right now. And I'm witnessing it in so many people and in my children and in myself. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. So may we also come to a place of gratitude and thanks right now for what's occurring, rather than, you know, in addition to being able to honor the feelings of grief and sadness and fear and all of those things, mm-hmm. and just not get in a fist fight with them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that because I think sometimes myself, I mean, an emotion comes over and then you live in it, right? For an extended period until you learn what you need to learn and you move on. But you're saying there's a choice that you don't even have to get into that fist fight to start, mm-hmm. which I think is like amazing.
Yeah. And that's the choice. I think, you know, I've really been evaluating. And I mean, if I go back in history and see my posts and different things like that, I'm sure a number of times I've said, choose love, not fear. And then I'm like, I don't think we choose fear ever. Fear happens. And then we got to choose the behavior around it. And we have to choose the practices leading up to it. Like if I don't want to allow fear to consume me and ruin my life, then I have to choose the practice ahead of time to support that. And so it's a tricky one. So I don't think we really choose fear. And that's where maybe we can have some empathy for people who are seeing operating in fear going, they're not choosing that. I mean, mm-hmm. Jesus said on the cross on his dying, you know, moment of, you know, they do not know what they do not know what they do. And so this is where we're really being brought. They, you know, people who are really sitting in a fearful place and operating out of that, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And if we get in a fist fight with that behavior, we're right in it too. And so breathe.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things, as you've mentioned, some people I'm like putting it in my, I've got some reading to do. First, I need to sign up to your website or to your newsletter. And then also I've typed in Richard Rohr.
Yes.
And also I've been meaning to read that Brené Brown book. So that's like on my to-do list. So I've got a couple
reminder.
Lots of good little things that are going to keep me busy.
Yeah. I think leaders that are seeking that knowledge and seeking that space of what do I do in this essence, my invitation for them is to find your spiritual practice, whatever that means for you, but find what that might mean. And we find spirit in nature more often than not.
Yeah.
So many people that I hear, but we commune with what is true for us. We are nature. Mm-hmm. And so we're not separate from it. So to find that spiritual practice and come into that space and to the content and information and stuff that I'm going to be doing coming out more often will be bringing leaders into that spiritual space, bringing leaders into that place of like, what does it mean to connect into my heart and lead more from that space? What does it mean for me to create more connection in a way that's really going to allow me to lead through this in the best way possible? We can't do it without that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that this forced shutdown, you know, is not a bad thing for people that just feel like they have to be busy, which is, that's who I am, you know, if I'm not busy, I'm not moving type thing. And so I'm like, ooh, this opportunity just to, you know, get some things that I, you know, do some reading that I've been meaning to do for a while, or just tackle a couple things. I think it is important to just embrace what is being offered to us. And it is just the time to be with people that you love in your home or whatever that may be, and just get some of those little things that you've been meaning to do and learning opportunities, you know, take advantage of this time as opposed to be pushing it, right? Yeah.
And to be okay through that process of how uncomfortable it might feel for you at times when you come to that place of, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing.
And, you know, yeah. And what do I do now? And I'm not really sure. And to just be able to sit in that and to trust that. One of the workshops I teach is the relationship between being and doing. Mm-hmm. And that being is where we connect vertically with our center and our divine being, and the horizontal is where we move in action, and that's our doing. And we are being brought into a global solidarity right now, and that's really quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people will we will remember this time in history, and we are being brought into this global solidarity, and let's honor that, mm-hmm. honor whatever that's meaning for us, and that it's a good thing. And like, I think you acknowledge it saying it's not a bad thing. And I said, and it's not a bad thing, and it will still feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. good things don't always look good.
Yeah.
At first. Mm. So, yeah.
One of the things we always ask our guests is, you know, you know this concept because you've been around Legacy Egg, is how do you want to be remembered, right? So how do you want to impact this life? You're obviously, everything you've said today is going to vibrate and jive, and it will connect with so many people. And I think the work that you do is so special and powerful, and so many people need it, including myself. This is a great reminder to get connected back to that. As you know, as you see this thing called life roll out for you, you know, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want your great grandkids to think about when they hear about Juliana, and you know, the impact you're making on this community and the world?
So I hope, this has been reflected back to me recently in a few ways, and I was like, oh, is that maybe the first word that comes up is love? And I think if I'm remembered by that word, maybe I did something good. Maybe something good happened. And by that the memory of it isn't that she coasted on rainbows and unicorns and pixie dust just, you know, flew from her wings, but that it's she was wildly imperfect and messed up a lot and was real and came to each moment through all of the things that were tough and hard, and found love in all of it. And by that demonstration, maybe it supported others to do the same. And so, yeah, that a wildly imperfect being who found the perfection in all of it simply through love.
I love it.
That's like beautiful. So beautiful.
So can I teach you guys something that my dad taught me?
Yes.
You guys, but I have been blessed with an incredible family, but my dad is the one that taught me so much about love when it comes to like affection. And from the moment I was a young kid, like ever, or as long as I can remember, and even still now, I mean, he'll call me at like 7 a.m. I mean, I look like a sweet beauty at 7 a.m. He's like, hi, sweet pea. And he'll say, you look so beautiful today. I laugh and I take it. And always, still to this day, I was skiing with a friend the other day and he's like, are you ready? I'm like, I'm ready, Dad. So I'm going to say, are you ready? Are you ready, ladies?
Ready.
I'm ready.
He's like, hey, wrap your arms around yourself. Wrap your arms around yourself and squeeze. Can you feel that? Can you feel that? I'm giving you a hug. And you just, feel it. And so I have been getting phone hugs from my dad my whole life. And so in this time of separation, I'm like, oh, maybe I can just pass on the phone hug. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like you invite the person that you love to just wrap their arms around them and they just squeeze and you feel that in the moment. So there we go. Because mm-hmm. If I could, I would, but I can't. That's what you get.
Yeah, yeah, we're huggers too. So,
but we need to hug ourselves a little bit more as well, right? I think that's totally one of those things where we just need to be a little bit kinder to ourselves and give ourselves those, like, you know, kudos or pats on the back or hugs and just love ourselves so that we could love others.
And I think my dad taught me that hug, although I'm hugging myself in that moment, that hug is always coming from somewhere so much greater than me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Gosh. Yeah.
Sherry, you're just like, you're standing in the sunlight right now, that you're just like this bright beacon. So on this, so
that's bawling her eyes out.
Well, you're taking in the energy, you know, like to me,
it's,
I'm like,
so good. It's so good.
On you right now, and I love it.
It's so good. I want to thank you, Julia, for being here. I think there's so many people, including myself, obviously, that needed to hear your words today. So we thank you so much for being here. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say, or.
I just thank you for holding the space for this conversation. The fact that you have a podcast that's called The Love is everything to me, and that I get to live in this extraordinary city that welcomes that. I mean, it brings me to tears, but we live in an extraordinary city, and it was a city that I wanted to escape from for most of my life. I call myself a born again Edmontonian. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that our paths have crossed, and that you're doing what you're doing, and that you are the extraordinary leader that you are in this city, and that we can trust that what's happening here in Edmonton radiates out far past this point. So thank you, Sherry. And thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You all have a beautiful day.
Sending you with love and light and grace and peace.
If you were inspired by our show, please take a moment to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen, and share with friends. You can always find show notes at loveyegshow.ca. Keep listening.